kind of a passion of mine. The Lord laid much of this on my heart probably a couple months ago. And I hope and pray that it's a blessing to you. But I want you to open your Bibles, if you have them, the book of Genesis chapter 21, verse 15. Sister Haskins, it's good to see you. I didn't think you were going to make it. Good to see you. Chapter 21, verse 15. And the water was spent in the bottle. She cast the child under one of the shrubs. She went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, "Let me not see the death of the child." And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. God heard the voice of the lad. The angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven, said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation." And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad to drink. I want to preach to you for a couple moments on the title, God's Gift to the World. And Brother Jerome, I think, is going to pray for us.
Jesus, we come before you this morning, God, asking you to use Pastor as he preaches the word. I pray that we've come in here with our ears and our spirit open to take this word in, Lord. I glorify you and magnify you. Lord, I'm thankful for every saint that's in this house this morning, but I pray that we leave this place with a word in our heart and in our mind, Lord, to edify the Spirit, Jesus. And we pray this prayer in your mighty name. Amen.
I know it's Mother's Day, but I want you to close your eyes just for one moment. And would you stretch your hands toward heaven and call upon the name of the Lord right now? Lord Jesus, we love you this morning, gracious Father. Thank you, Lord, for being in this place today. Lord, I praise you today, and I pray that your word, O God, would be anchored in our spirits today, O God. I pray that you would bless our mothers in this house today, Jesus. And I pray that you would honor the word, O God, and anoint the mouth of the servant for your glory. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said amen. And Lord bless you. You may be seated. We're going to talk about seven different mothers this morning, seven different scenarios and circumstances. This first one is the story of Hagar. You're probably somewhat aware, but she finds herself, because of doing what she was asked to do, cast out of Sarah's house. And in this text, you find her at a place where she feels as if her son is going to die because of no water. And the Bible says that she laid him there under a shrub, and she went a little distance off, and she wept and she cried unto the Lord. And the Bible says that God heard the voice of the lad. Now, we know that he heard Hagar's voice, but we would suggest that the lad also, the child, was also weeping, calling unto the Lord. And the Lord spoke to her and reminded her, told her that in him he will make a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and there was a well there where she was able to go drink. I'm calling Hagar this morning the broken mother. It was through her brokenness that she cried unto the Lord in an effort to save her son. She wasn't even really concerned about herself. At least we don't see any scriptural reference that suggests that she was worried about her own demise or her own health or her own needs. But she was, as we can see, worried about the life of her child. The second text is in Exodus chapter 2. And these should all run in order so you don't have to bounce back and forth in your Bible. Verse 2 says, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Now, I've never thought about it. I don't know what she saw that she decided after he was born. All right, he's a good child. But thank God that she did, because only a mother can see the goodness in a newborn. You know what I'm saying? Let me just expound upon that. If you've never heard me say that most babies, when they're brand newborn, they're ugly. But a mother hold that baby and say he's the most beautiful creature in the world, and I'm like, creature is correct. And I've got children, so you can't get offended at me. They were ugly too. Thank God they grew up and they got handsome. At birth. So she saw he was a goodly child and she hid him 3 months. Why did she hide him? Because of the order of the Pharaoh to kill all of the firstborn of the male children of the Hebrews. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. We're dubbing Jochebed the desperate mother because in her desperation, in an effort to save her child's life, she put him in this handmade basket and sent him down the river. In doing so, she did not know what his future held. She did not know if he would survive. She did not know if he'd get eaten by an alligator or a crocodile, if the basket would flip over and he would drown. She did not know. But in her desperation, she did the only thing that she knew to do to save that child. And that was to trust him in the hands of the Lord. And the Lord responded. The Lord put Pharaoh's daughter there at the very moment the basket would float by. That was not an accident. It was God honoring her faithfulness. It was not an accident that when she opened up the basket at that very moment, the baby cried, which caused her heart to yearn for that child rather than having the merciless barbarism of her father in killing those male firstborn without regard. When the baby wept, she only saw the innocence of the child, and she took that child to protect him. She was the desperate mother. Third, we talk about Judges chapter 13 and verse 3. This mother does not have a name, at least that I remember or recall in the scripture. The Bible says the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Verse 14, it says, she may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Mothers here understand that what you put in your body during pregnancy gets passed on to the child. We have seen now in our society many children, babies born as addicts. Heard a horrible story of one last week when I had my children's services meeting. Talked about a baby that was born with addicted to two types of drugs and narcotics. Baby took 3 months before they could even get her out of some form of intensive care. And the child has long-term consequences because what you put in your body will get passed on to that child. This one is very important to me. And I think as a Christian, it should be very important to us. And I did not emphasize this morning, but I want to emphasize it now. God has a calling on your child's life, in my children's lives. If you don't have children right now, I want to tell you that God has a calling when you do on that child's life. It's important that the mother remember that calling every day. And in this condition, in this situation, it was not just Samson, don't cut your hair. Samson, don't take any strong drink. It was, Mom, you cannot do the things that I'm going to ask him not to do. Because you have the seed in you of a child of God that he's going to use to deliver the people from their sin, from their oppression. He would be a deliverer. And so she was not allowed to eat. Now, that's kind of a relevant statement. I'm going to tell you why. A lot of times in church, and I'm talking about real churches, not fake churches, not churches that just pretend to be churches. I'm talking about a real church. People will say, well, you know, I don't go to church because you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do that. Well, listen, you can do whatever you want. If you want to walk out here and go out in the front street, Route 20, you want to kill somebody, you can do that. But there's consequences to what you do. Understand that Samson's mother could have done whatever she wanted. She could have said, no, I like my wine. People do that all the time now. She could have said, no. I like bacon. Talked about bacon this morning. If I was the mother and you told me I couldn't have bacon, I promise you I would sneak a few pieces of bacon. I'd say, well, just a couple pieces, not going to hurt them. I can promise you I would. That's why I'm not a mother. But a mother, they're different because they're built differently. And a mother is much more careful what they put in their body. This mother, we call her the disciplined mother. Because it required a great level of discipline. She had to be very careful because the angel of the Lord let her know it's not just an ordinary child that's inside of you. So you've got to take some extra measures that some people might not need to take. But she did. She did. The next mother in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10. It says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. This one is, I feel a little personal about it for some reason, because this mother isn't yet a mother. But she has the instincts of a mother, because only a woman can be a mother. And what God puts in them from inception is in them inherently. So Hannah had the instincts and the desire of a mother, but yet she did not yet have a child. I've witnessed a lot of women over the years who wanted a child and they were so desperate to have the child. And some that struggled and were not able and they were heartbroken. They were crushed. Why? Because it's in them inherently to be a mother. It's not just something you can sign up for. It's not something you can have a surgery and change. I'm going to be really emphatic about that one this morning. And so Hannah, the Bible says she was in bitterness of soul. And she prayed to the Lord and she wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, remember me, not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. So Hannah received a double whammy, because Hannah was the barren mother. Hannah was crushed that she could not have a child, a man child that she wanted. But then she had to make a pledge to the Lord that if you give me what I want, I'll give that back to you. Can you imagine wanting something so bad for Christmas that you say, if you give this to me, I'll just keep it for about 6 months and I'll give it back to you. Well, this was her flesh and blood. She made that vow because she wanted that child so bad. And she did. When she was done weaning that child, she took him and she gave him to the Lord. The next mother, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 25. The king said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spoke the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child and no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. We know the second woman was not the real mother of that child. When it's not yours, it's easy to feel that way about. But when you're the mother of that child, to hear that the king would cut that child in half and give it a half to each, which we know he wasn't going to do. We understand that in his wisdom, he knew that the real mother would never allow that to happen. Think about that just for one moment. They didn't have DNA tests back then. There were no photographs in order to verify. There was no birth certificates. All Solomon had was the instinct of a mother. And he knew if I put this before them, the real mother would never allow this to happen to her child. Now this is a tough one to talk about, because we live in a day and age where women abort their children just as if they were going to the restroom. It's as easy as that. Because the Bible says that in the last days that we will have as if our conscience were seared with a hot iron without natural affection, Timothy says. It's not natural. You see, this woman was a harlot. A harlot. But she was still a mother. Just because the child might have been ill-conceived does not mean that she did not love and mother and nurture that child. And this woman, who society would look down upon as not much, still was willing to give her child up to somebody else to save the child's life. There are many women, some of who I know I will not mention because they might not want me to, who had a child before they were ready and they gave that child up for adoption. If you're one of those mothers today, you should not be ashamed of yourself. You should hold your head up and know that you love that child so much you'd have rather gave it to somebody else than watch that child be destroyed because you weren't ready to mother it. She's the loving mother. Now, I know all mothers are loving, but there was something different about this mother that she was willing to. There's two mothers now that was willing to give their children up. Two. The next mother is in Luke chapter 1, verse 13. While you're turning there, poke your neighbor and say, act alive. It'll help the preacher. Now look back and say, you act like you're interested and so will I. They're not even doing that. I give up. Luke 1:13, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son and shall call his name John. I told the church this morning I wasn't really fond of the name John, so I'm not going to say that now just in case there's a John here. I won't let you know that I'm not real fond of that name. I think it's a boring name. Ain't John's here? Don't tell us. That doesn't even sound right either. Only a few people would catch that. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Listen, let me just take a brief intermission, all right? Nothing outdoes the fact that a week ago at our Chinese auction, they brought an item up. And I announced it and I said, you got this nice black wreath. And I'm thinking, why would you make a black wreath? And I started to draw numbers and somebody said, that's a steering wheel cover. It was at that moment that I could not stop laughing and I had to hand the microphone off. So, thou shalt have joy and gladness and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Same scenario as Samson. Both are Nazarites. Both required a great level of discipline. But we're going to call this mother the mother of prophecy because John the Baptist was prophesied. What was inside of her was not just any old child, but a prophesied child. Had a very distinct calling upon his life for the world to come. And it was incumbent upon Elizabeth to understand exactly who it is that you're carrying, who that child is going to be. Now you, as a mother, might not have ever heard God or somebody prophesy to you that your child will be this or that, but that doesn't mean your child does not have prophecy upon their life. Why would that matter to us? Because the mother is the incubator for the child. The mother is the one that prepares that child to be brought into the world. And the mother is the one then that nurtures and teaches that child. It's not a small thing. And then the last mother is in Luke chapter 1 verse 28. It reads, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Mary I have dubbed the innocent mother. As best as we can tell, Mary was around 16 years old. She was a virgin according to the scripture. And when God called her, he found a pure vessel that he could use. Wasn't just anybody that he could use to be the incubator for Jesus, but he had to find this innocent vessel that he was able to use in order to bring Jesus into the world. Are you with me? And so, he told Mary that you are highly favored and the Lord is with you and blessed are thou among women. In her innocence, God prepared this woman to be the mother of the Messiah. It wasn't just a small thing. And so, we've talked about seven different types of mothers and circumstances. And the chances are that the mothers in this building today, you may have identified with one of them. You at one point might have been the broken mother. You somewhere along the line may have been the desperate mother. some tragedy struck and you were desperately crying unto the Lord for your child. You probably were all the disciplined mother where you had to be very careful with yourself, very careful with your body during that time that you carried that child. Maybe there are those who were the barren mother who were not able to have children like Hannah and they cried out unto the Lord. Or maybe there was the loving mother, somebody who you did not come from the best of circumstances. Your life would not be one that you'd put on the world stage as a representative, but you loved your child enough that maybe you even had to make that tough decision to give that child up, to give that child life. Or maybe you are even the mother of a prophesied child, one that God had used great for His glory or would use for His kingdom. Or you may even have been just like Mary, the innocent mother, highly favored of God, blessed among all women. The fact of the matter is there is a uniqueness to mothers and there is nothing in this world that you can compare to a mother. Mothers go through things, experience things, endure things. They feel in ways that a man cannot feel. I've said this and I'll continue to say it because of the condition of our society, but a man cannot change his self and make himself a mother. A man can have a sex change, but you cannot be a mother. You can never be a mother. You can never fill the roles of a mother. Mothers are unique. Mothers are called by God. They are divine in some respect, in my humble opinion, in their nature. Because they do what no man can do. And even as a father, you cannot step in the role of a mother. And I'm going to say this at the risk of maybe hurting somebody's feelings. And I don't mean to at all because I know the world that we live in today. But it's not possible for a mother to play both roles. And it's not possible for a father to play both roles. You may try, you may have to try. You may be put in a situation where it's necessary for you to try. But God distinctly created us for a purpose and for a reason. And the things that we talked about were these with these mothers, they're things that men could not do. We could try, but we just cannot do. We're not built the same way as a mother is. We don't have the same emotion. Women have there's an inherent connection between a mother and her child because that child was once a part of her own flesh and bone. That child was attached to her body. It's not just something that happens. It's a life connected to a life. And that's why those mothers have an instinct and they have a connection that men cannot have. And the world is trying to aggressively pervert the position of a mother and motherhood in our world. And we cannot let it happen. We must push back against that. And we must champion our mothers in this society and champion their role and their place amongst this world. It's different. It's unique. So, the world, that's the first time I ever threw my hanky at myself. The world worked hard to take mothers out of the home by telling them they weren't important enough. It's not an important role to be a mother. It's important if you're out there and you're in the workforce contributing to society. Which I'm not criticizing women that have a job, but I'm saying the role of a mother is more important. It's more important. It's more important. I know the pay is not well at all. I understand the reward is not high. I understand that you don't get recognition like the woman of the year because she became the CEO of a company. That's fine. Where are her children? And they may be successful too. That's great. Are they going to heaven? We're supposed to be Christians. We're not executives. We're not of this world. We just live in this world. And so mothers, let me tell you, if the only thing that happens to your child is you get them to heaven for eternity, you've done more than any mother that's run 1,000 companies. Then the world works hard to make mothers feel insecure in who they are. by sexualizing the rest of society, to make mothers feel as if they're no longer beautiful or they no longer can compare. And sadly, what I've witnessed is I've seen some mothers who have, they have straddled the fence of motherhood to try to become, if you please, single again. You're not. You're a mother. You've come beyond those stages. Now, we all wish when you're older, we all wish that we still had, you know, the body and the health that we did when we were 20. But I've never met anybody, including myself, that would say, but you know what? I would trade this and I'd go back and be 20 again. I wouldn't, because the fact is I was dumb and uneducated when I was 20. If you're 20 years old, sorry about your luck. So there's something about aging, and there is something about life and experience. So what I'm saying to the mothers is, yes, there may be days and moments, and when you look out there and you see how they've sexualized women in every way imaginable, and you may feel like you're non-existent in this life, but I'm here to tell you that you thank God that you're not that, because your role is far more important. You're not just living for self, but you're living for others. That is the spirit of Jesus. You're the sacrifice and what you give and what you invest. And I know, again, that the rewards are never great in this life, but your reward will be great in eternity, because you have fulfilled the role that God destined you to fulfill in this life, and you have walked your children through this life into the next and theirs as they move on into their own life. And so now the world's trying to redefine a mother by suggesting that a man can step into a mother's shoes. And it cannot happen. Because what I read to you was natural. It was instinct. It wasn't something by design. Each mother that we talked about, their responses were not because they were taught it in school. Their responses were not because they read it on the internet. How should a mother react if their child is dying of thirst? How should a mother react when she wants a child but can't have a child? You can Google all that stuff, but you don't need to, because there's something in you that God put there when you were born in your own mother's womb that tells you it's nature. It is natural for a mother. You can't fabricate that. That's very important that you understand what I'm trying to say today. And just because your children may be grown and older, if they are, that doesn't preclude you or exclude you from this conversation at all. Because you'll always be their mother. They'll always need you. And you'll have grandchildren, or as someone told me this morning, great grandchildren. And those motherly instincts will always play a role. Always. So we cannot allow the world to redefine a mother. Listen to me. It's a good thing that I'm not a mother. Because if I was a mother, I would probably just go postal and ballistic on the world. The first time, after I went through what I went through, carrying that child, some of you had to lay in bed for weeks or months even, going through the pain of childbirth, going through all the humiliation of childbirth. And I'm not saying this, maybe those who had never had children, you might be wondering, well, what are we talking about? Well, you'll find out one day. But when we were having our children, I was embarrassed. And I wasn't even the one that was having the child. There's a lot that women go through. If that was me, and you had some dude that tried to throw on a skirt and shave his beard and say, I'm a woman, I'd be ticked off. I'd say, you absolutely are. Hey, I'm not being unkind. I'm just being real for a second. Because you can't duplicate that. You can't duplicate that. And I want mothers to understand this morning that your value is far greater than what you've ever been willing to admit or acknowledge. Because you carry life and you bring life into this world, and then you prepare those lives for life. And what you pass on to them, just as if you drink caffeine, and that child, my wife probably drank too much caffeine when she's pregnant with Cole. I'm just telling you, the poor boy's scarred forever. That boy, That boy, I know we're talking about women, but he's talking about Cole for a second. We're putting our audition on the house. He leaves for school at 7:15-ish in the morning. He gets done with school. He goes and he works out because he wants to get buff. He gets done working out. He has football practice. He gets done with football practice. He has a game. He comes strolling in the house like 9 o'clock at night, opens the door, walks into Dak, and we start tearing up the carpeting in the front room. I said, it's 9 o'clock. You've been gone all day. Aren't you tired? No, I want to tear up the carpet. Well, tear it up. I'm not tearing up no carpeting 9 o'clock at night. I haven't been doing all that all day. But the kid went in there and started pulling up all the carpeting. She had too much caffeine. I'm not making that story up either. Hey, but that's good. My point is, you pass on. Just like you may pass on caffeine to that baby, the things that you impart into them, you're passing on to them. It will be things they'll carry with them for the rest of their life. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart. And if you weren't serving the Lord then, and you may feel like you missed those days, you can't miss them because God can always restore. You've got to believe in that. But don't stop being the mother. Love them enough to speak to them. Love them enough to impart into their life. Love them enough to still chastise them. If they're away from God, love them enough to say, you've got to get right with God, son. You know where you should be. And so, there's no replacement for what God instilled naturally in a woman. So, several months ago, I decided that I was going to preach on this title, that a mother is God's gift to the world. And I know you think I'm being funny, but I do truly believe, when you pull all the humor away, that a mother is pretty close to an angel. You just can't duplicate what a mother is. You just can't. Gentle. She methodically attends to her family. Obsessive, in many cases, about caring for their children. Obsessive about doing it right. Obsessive about a good mixture of food. Obsessive about not eating too much junk. Obsessive about the balance. See, it's obvious I'm not a mother because I don't remember what the balance is. What is it? Protein and vegetables and meat? Is that right? What is it? Someone tell me. Isn't it four food groups? Is it four food? Mothers, you're not helping me here. You're making me look really bad. I'm championing for you. Thank you. My wife gets very frustrated when there's not a good mixture of vegetables. Me? I'm pretty happy. I'm not anti-vegetable, but you know, if I go to the restaurant, I'll say, what would you like? I want vegetables. No, give me a big, fat, greasy hamburger. But a mother, they know when to throttle it down. No, you've had too much of that. You got to balance it out. A mother is selfless. I'm an observer, and I say this because I mean it, but I watch our mothers. And we have more younger mothers in Jefferson, but I watch them all the time. And I watch them be mother hens. And I watch them as their kids are hanging on them and pulling on them. And they exercise patience that I would not have. It's just something so special and so unique about mothers. And I do believe that they are more than a gift to the world. And the patience. She has the patience of Job. So there's nothing that's more beautiful than a mother. And this is a very important topic to cover. Because any mother knows once you have children, your body's changing. So you can go run, you can lift weights, you can do whatever you want to do. And right now, I got some young single ladies here, or even married. Right now they're saying, Not me. I'll never let my body change. Oh, good luck with that. Good luck. You can't control nature. Now, you might be able to slow it down a little bit, Nicole, but you can't control it. It's going to change. And the reason I say that is because, and here's why I say it, because a mother, and her beauty is not defined by her body or her hairdo. It's defined by who she is as a person, as a mother. Now, you don't think that's important, do you? When you got men all over this world leaving their wives every other day. Tell me it's not important. They didn't leave them when they were young and single. They wanted to be with them then until things start to change. And then you look at the rest of the world. It's been sexualized. Your eyes play tricks on you. And I'm going to say this, and the women probably won't like me for this one, but I'm going to say it. We can go on and we can pretend all we want to. But as you get older, you're never the same way as you were when you're younger. You're just not. Now, you might be Dwayne Johnson, all right? Okay, he's just a robot. But for the rest of us, it's going to change. And so I always try to stress that your love for your spouse has to go deeper. It has to go deeper than the body. It has to go deeper because when change happens, that's where people that are only driven by sight, that's where they fall off the wagon. And a mother needs to understand, and I'm going to wrap this up in a minute, but she needs to understand that you're more than your looks. You're more than how pretty you think you are. And I say the think because very few women think they look pretty. Well, unless you're the egotistical ones in Hollywood, I'm going to talk about that. So your beauty is defined by who God made you. And if you don't mind coming and playing for me, honey. It's defined by your gentleness. It's defined by your love that you display towards your family. That's where your beautiness is really defined. And I know no one's going to probably receive that from me, but it's the truth. So you can't be replaced by self-identifying statements or surgeries. No matter how hard the world's going to try to, you can't be replaced by it. Don't worry about the dudes that want to be ladies. They cannot take your place. You're mean. No, I'm just being real. And a mother can only be a woman, a female, by birth. And I'm stressing that again, and I'm stressing it because we cannot allow our mothers to be stepped on and to let the world replace them with men that want to be something else. We cannot allow our mothers who have borne their role to be walked on and mistreated in that respect. And I make zero apology for that. God put something in a mother that cannot be duplicated by men. So, moms, you are a gift to the world. And I mean that. Might not always agree with you. You still need us too. Just in case you didn't think you did. But you do. But you can't be replaced. And you can't be duplicated. And don't think that you can. So whether you were a broken mother at some point in your life, a desperate mother, disciplined mother, a barren mother, loving mother, mother of prophecy, mother of the innocent. Any of those, if they've ever fit you, it's because you're a mother. And we have great, great examples in the Bible. Great examples of what a true mother looks like. When you can take a prostitute and you can put her in the scripture, and she has more of mothering instinct about her than so many in our world today. You know that something is upside down, but it also teaches us that a mother's not defined by her status in life. That doesn't define her. It's only when you lose that instinct without natural affection, when you lose that, that's when our world is in trouble. And so there's this balance, man and woman. That's the balance. And the role that women play, the role that mothers play, is just a very critical, critical, critical role. So I can stop rambling. Would you mind standing and can our mothers come and stand at the front so we can pray over you? All mothers are welcome. So many mothers, they struggle with feeling like they have been successful as a mother. Am I right, ladies, or wrong? So many mothers, like Becca, talk too much. I'm just kidding. I'm just picking on you, Becca. I said so many mothers struggle with feeling accomplished as a mother. Mothers always point out their faults. They always point out their weaknesses. They always feel like they didn't do enough. But I want to tell you today that doing enough it's not about the things that you do, but it's about the person that you are. That's what defines you. Again, who would have ever thought or called out or singled out the harlot in the scripture. But she showed more motherly instinct than many do. Is she a good mother? She was a great mother. She was willing to sacrifice her own child. Hannah was a great mother. Willing to give her child that she so desperately wanted to the Lord. So I want to pray. I want us to pray. I'm going to ask Brother Jerry to come up and let him pray over our mothers this morning, that God will continue to bless you and that you will be proud of who you are. Don't compare yourself to this world and think that there's something out there that you've got to match up to. You don't need to. You are who God made you, and you cannot be duplicated or replaced. So Brother Jerry, come and pray over these ladies if you would.
Gracious Father, we love you, Lord, and we thank you for this day and this word. We thank you, Lord, for the mothers in our life, Lord. The family, Lord, is your creation, Lord. The family is a blessing, Lord. We know that this world has tried to destroy it. The mother, Lord, is so crucial, Lord, in these families, Lord. And these mothers here today, oh God, we ask you, Lord, for your blessings bestowed upon them. Give them strength. Give them wisdom, Lord. Lord, the feelings they have, Lord, that they feel like they're inadequate, Lord. They feel like that they didn't fulfill the motherly role, Lord, that you intended for them. Show them, Lord, the importance, Lord, of what they did and how in raising their children, Lord. Raising them, Lord, according to you, Lord. How that is a blessing, Lord, and it honors and glorifies you. We ask you this day, Lord, to touch all the mothers here, Lord, and those that are not here. Give them what they need, Lord, I pray. May your blessings bestow upon them. Oh, God, we thank you for them, Lord. We thank you for the mothers in our life. And we thank you, Lord, for the family, Lord, that you created. Help us, Lord. Lift up our mothers, Lord, in our church. Our mothers, Lord, our natural mothers. Lord, may we lift them up and help them, Lord, in any way we can. We thank you for them, and we give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. Here in your love, here in your love, no place I'd rather be, no place I'd rather be, no place I'd rather be. Here in your love, here in your love, set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. no place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. Here in your love, here in your love. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. Here in your love, here in your love.